Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, there's some scams that was going around, apparently. Mustang Sally said her husband lost $350 on a scam, one of those DirecTV scams with the email that looks legit, but it's not. It made me worry about you, Lopez. Watch out for them clicks on them emails, brother.
Hey, I don't do that.
Okay. Yeah, you did once.
I did once.
Once you break the seal, now this is something I'm concerned about every single day for you.
I did once, that's for sure.
Someone from the 832 said they worked for a brokerage firm on Long Island, paid for licensing and everything, but they could only sell 3 to 4 stocks. 2 months later, they got raided by the feds. 30 guys were arrested.
Dude.
Man.
Straight like that.
That's like some real
Leonardo DiCaprio's listening.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought about, right? Or a good pump and dump or something.
Yeah.
And then I appreciate you got a text on the bat phone that was like, yep, them Kirby vacuums. And my mom loved to work. There was no way we were going to get scammed by that because she was like, oh, no, you can come in and clean. We knew what time it was. I felt bad.
Show me some more how it works.
I know she's not buying this at all.
Yeah.
She's just getting a free cleaning of these floors. Go ahead and shampoo them too. Yeah. I want to see that part as well before I buy. Oh, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
We don't feel like doing it this time.
Yeah, you know what? I ain't got the money.
Terrible.
That was my mom go-to.
I ain't got the money.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in the loop. And I'll start here. You're familiar with Cody Mauch? I'll forget how to say his name.
I think it's Mauch, right? Yeah,
that's
Cody,
right.
Mauch. I think he's a great nephew of Carl Mauch.
Is he now?
Yeah,
I guess that makes sense.
The old Oilers center.
That actually makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, he was the only player on that Bucs offensive line that you lost to on Monday that was playing in his original position. He won't be doing that anymore. He suffered a season-ending knee injury in that game.
Mm-hmm.
He joins Kalijah Kancey, who I don't know if you mentioned it. He had a pec injury. He's done for the season.
Yeah.
But I look at this, and I'm trying to remember now, of course, as I'm going to say it, I can't remember. Even from week one, I felt like there was somebody from the Rams that had a significant injury. And it just feels like after playing the Texans, teams are losing a lot of these guys. Obviously, Tristan Wirfs didn't play in that game for the Bucs, but it's just like, damn, all these guys are being lost, and not necessarily that it would have helped.
Although
the
Bucs had 3 guys.
You know?
Their offensive line were without 3 guys.
Right, it's not like the Texans would have taken full advantage of that, but it's just like, damn, all these guys are getting hurt after they play the Texans. There's been a number of just kind of injuries in general. It's football, as you know, but it's like, damn, a lot of guys getting injured out here, but yeah, that's something that the Bucs are dealing with out there. Pursuant to that, though, they're adding someone from the Bills practice squad. It's Dan Feeney, who's played a lot. He's had a lot of starting experience in the league.
I think 60. Yeah, here it is right here. 65 games.
He's started 65 starter. Games. He's played in 120. Are you really?
No, I am that guy. Yeah.
Are you really that guy with this?
Yeah, no, I am 100% the guy.
Practice squad?
The guy that I hate. You know, anytime any player comes available, hey, how about the Texans? You know, and we're like rolling our eyes sometimes because it's not a fit or he's done or whatever the case may be. When I saw center guard Dan Feeney has been signed by the Bucs, I was that guy. I was like, why not us? Why not the Texans? And to be fair, he is pretty well respected now he's been on the practice squad, but the Bills have a really good line, you know?
I mean,
knowing the level of talent that or the talent level that we felt about this offensive line here in Houston, I get where you're coming from. I just have find it hard to believe that that's going to be the piece that, you know, makes this offense kind of come together. But I hear what you're saying.
Well,
I
mean, it's not even that. It's just like let's find out.
Right. And yeah. I think one thing about this Texas team is we know that they are willing to go and test guys off of offensive or off of practice squads. They did that quite a bit last year, I remember, with a number of names that come in off the practice squad. I'm sorry, that's not going to get me excited, but I understand why you bring the question up.
I think they just going to keep making the excuse of these guys just got to get more reps together. It's going to take some time to get it together and all that stuff. I don't know if they right there ready to just get practice squad guys for the offensive line.
I think part of it for me is in part the frustration, but also, you know, what we've talked about. These guys are hard to find during the regular season. Kick the damn tires, man. Doesn't cost you much. Doesn't cost you much.
Lopez, is this true? Did you beg that they get Jose Abreu?
No, God, no. That's not true. Who said that?
Text line. But
what?
The Astros were very much duped by Jose Abreu.
They say, pull the tape. Check the tape.
Please check the tape. That's the last thing I did.
All right. I just wanted to make sure. Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get you started today. Did you see... probably the best high school football player in the state of Texas. You see what he had going on recently?
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw the highlights.
Yeah, Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
With the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
He issued an apology. Mm-hmm. He had a sorry post, and you might ask, well, what for? I mean, that's a team that's 2-0 out there as the Cardinals before they face off against the San Francisco 49ers, who may or may not be without their starting quarterback. What's he apologizing for? Well, right. He apparently posted on Instagram, I think it was Tuesday,
I think it was Tuesday, yeah.
A picture of him wearing a Virginia Tech Michael Vick jersey while posing with one of his Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you understand why people didn't take too kindly to this image.
I think so. I think we do. Just, you know, give it one more look before you post it. You know, just... You know, just give it one more glance before you pressed post, because I think even Kyler, I honestly think he probably wasn't even really thinking. Maybe he was. I don't know exactly.
Is he that type of guy, though, that would do something like that?
Maybe that's why I'm there. Yeah, I'm like, maybe he was just ignorant, you know? I don't know. A lot of guys love Michael Vick.
Sure.
Yeah.
If he was just wearing a Michael Vick jersey, I'm actually one to defend it. I think we might have talked about it. I think that he's very much Michael Vick is a dude that is probably the, I don't know, he might be the you know, prototype on how to handle a misstep, I guess, if you would like to call it that, because not only did he prostrate himself before the public, he went and became an advocate for that very thing that he had kind of gone awry of. Mm-hmm. He was like an advocate for the ASPCA and, you know, dog advocacy and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I don't know that you get out here with the Michael Vick jersey in a picture with your dog, knowing the connotation of those things.
I don't either, but I think it's certainly in play. And I'm not trying to defend him because it was a horrible look. Just like I said, just look at it one more time before you hit post, and it might light bulb might go off that this is not a good idea. It was a horrible idea. I just think it's possible that he was ignorant, you know. It insensitive, but not necessarily, because what is the win here? What is the gain for him? I'm going to wear my Michael Vick jersey with my Bulldog.
That's why I don't know why you end up taking that photo, right? I don't understand why you end up taking that photo.
What is the statement?
Again, I don't really have a good idea.
Yeah.
It looked like a Halloween costume, to be honest. Somebody just trying to be funny at a Halloween party.
Yeah. In an insensitive, wrong way.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if we'll know. He didn't really specify. But one thing that seems clear is he loves those dogs and pampers them and all that. So,
he did say that.
Who, right? Kyler Murray?
Yeah.
Kyler did say that, right? He said they both get treated like kings, his Bulldogs he was referring to. So it's not like in no way, shape, or form am I condoning that. But yes, I saw how it affected people and decided to take it down. So I apologize to anybody and whoever I affected with that.
Yeah.
So, I mean... I guess, but that would make me question some things. Like, hey, man, why are we not making that decision on the front end?
Exactly.
Regardless. I did mention this. There's 10 0-2 teams in the NFL right now. Mm-hmm. Your Houston Texans are one of them. I kind of want to see, like, how you stack these up, because I want to see where you are with these Texans in association with that. So there's 10 of these, and I can rattle them off for you. There are the Carolina Panthers, the Chicago Bears, who, mind you, their head coach this week said that they are not practicing at the caliber of a championship-level yes. team, which I think that hits really hard if your coach is willing to say that on a podium in front of everybody, as opposed to just saying that amongst a team or whatever. The Cleveland Browns, the Houston Texans, obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Miami Dolphins, the New Orleans Saints, the New York Giants, and the New York Jets, and then also your in-division rivals, the Tennessee Titans. Mm-hmm. Which of those teams do you think is best situated to get on the outside, or like to still have a good season out of an 0-2 stance?
Looking at the list, I think the obvious one is the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Or maybe it's not so obvious.
It feels obvious to me.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had some injuries, and of course they had tough game against the Chargers, tough game against the Eagles. Like, those are teams that not only are we go, oh, those are playoff teams, those are really good teams mm-hmm. right now. I think the Chargers might have one of the best defenses in the league right now with Jesse Minter's defense.
Yeah.
It feels like that is, and it's funny to kind of juxtapose this, that is truly a game plan defense where every given week they go, we're going to do the things that take away from what you are doing on the other side of the football. And mm-hmm. at least through 2 weeks, they've been very successful at doing that. You can also point to the idea that the way that this offense is built for the Chiefs is, in part, you need that number one guy. No Rashee Rice dealing with his suspension.
There's that too.
Xavier Worthy injured. And so those guys return. You can get back to something that looks a lot more tenable. And then you trust that team with the Kansas City Chiefs. As much as they might be frustrating to us, they build throughout the season. They get better. And we know that about them over history. So I think that they clearly are well situated.
And I think the next team that is best situated is the Houston Texans of those teams. You just went through several reasons that the Chiefs, you know, might be situated. Getting some players back. Christian Kirk's coming back. The defense. Texans have, we think, you know, a dang good defense. The only hesitance for me is the thing we've been talking about all week and we'll continue to talk about until proven otherwise is offense and Kaylee and such. So I would put them number two. Some of these other teams are just, I mean, you can flat out say they're cooked.
Right. So, okay, let's go from the other end of this. Who are the teams that you know definitively? Yeah, that 0-2 means something and I don't care because I'm interested in the middle. Like, who are the teams in here that you're like, huh, interesting.
So
I feel like you could probably, the Jets, we knew they were not trying to contend. Yeah. All due respect to Aaron Glenn. You know, trying to get in there. He has a cultural thing to turn around there and set some expectations. They already have an injured quarterback. Tyrod Taylor is going to be the starter for them this week. I think we knew that's a team that they were just, I mean, they did the 1 year deal with Justin Fields, which very much felt like a little bit of a give up with all due respect to him.
Yeah.
So yeah, it felt like that team was already in a place where they weren't trying to contend in a big way.
I think the team that obviously is just absolutely cooked is the Miami Dolphins. They are at the bottom of the list, even below the Tennessee Titans, I would say, in my book anyway. Some of those teams in the middle, I know you're going to laugh at me, Figgy, but I think like Cleveland and Chicago, you know, they're going to win some games. They're going to win some games, even though it's Cleveland, you know.
I think Cleveland got a good defense, man. Yeah. I forgot the defense was actually all right. Mm-hmm. It's just the offense is bad.
Yeah, and Ben Johnson, kind of like the Jets, maybe they're not really – trying to win all that much right now, but I think they're gonna be causing problems, I think, here and there.
The Browns?
The Bears.
Bears. Yeah. It does feel like you have an opportunity to do something really good. Of course, we'll see what that builds because, you know, first year head coach, trying to establish again culture, all those things that we've talked about. And early on, you were hoping that they would be further along in their development with Caleb Williams. That remains to be seen. But it does seem, and maybe I'm leaning on, you know, his previous boss, like a Dan Campbell. It does seem like he's setting those expectations that seemingly worked for Dan Campbell. Now, it is worth noting that with Dan Campbell,
he's not Dan Campbell.
He's not. But then also, that did take a couple years showing dividends there as well. So maybe not so much there. The Tennessee Titans you mentioned, I'm interested in that because it does feel like they're just far off right now. But also, I kind of like what, although Cam Ward does feel like does it not feel like with Cam Ward that he is kind of doing Will Levis things, but just getting away with it?
TBD, I think. He, you know, he made a very ill-advised but fantastic throw for his first NFL touchdown, so who knows on that. And I would put the Titans maybe not in that middle zone, but somewhere closer to that than like the Dolphins or, you know, some of these other squads, the Giants, you know.
By the way, the Dolphins, if you want to see just how bad they are, you want to see a train wreck? Thursday night football tonight.
Yeah.
It is Bills, Dolphins. You want to guess what the line is here?
Oh, I looked at it, but I can't remember. What is it?
You really can't?
No, I can't remember.
Well, then guess it then.
I'm going to say 10.5.
Figgy, would you like to venture a guess here on what the line is for tonight's game?
I'm going to say 11.
We're getting there. 12.5.
Okay. Goodness gracious.
That is the biggest point spread as of right now in the NFL this season.
Sounds right. Sounds
and
right.
I'd be willing to take, though. I think they're going to get walked.
Give those points all day.
I think they're going to get walked. And look, it's probably hasty to do that because it is the NFL. There are times where we go, oh, man, this is a crazy
difference.
And
then there are times when it's a good bet.
It just feels like that Dolphins team is falling apart. Yeah. Tua Tagovailoa has been atrocious this year, and in part because that offense is still not well-situated and he's a limited quarterback.
Yeah,
that is the game that you have to look forward to, which in some ways you might view as a Thursday night off. Right, like you might be able to get some done if you got a honey-do list. If your wifey wants to hang out,
you know what,
a little
baby?
Bit.
Let's go to dinner.
You know what? I
don't you
want to
watch the game?
I want to do this for you.
Nah. I think our relationship matters more than this football game, this baby girl. Yeah, so excited for that one, or maybe you're not. Who knows? But there you go, in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up next, it's a Thursday, and as we do on Thursdays, we will turn to the phone line to talk to former Texans defensive end Ndi Kalu. We'll do that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get back to talking about these Houston Texans and nobody we enjoy doing that more with than this gentleman that we have on the phone line, my fellow Nigerian. He is a former Houston Texans player. You've seen him on pregame shows on the preseason, or they're either in the broadcast, in the preseason. I never get that right. I will eventually. And you catch him here every Thursday. His name is Ndi Kalu. What's happening, my man?
You know what, Reggie? As proud as I am, make sure you say Nigerian American before they round my ass up and send me that. Yeah. So just make sure they know I'm really from San Antonio, Texas.
That's right, San Antonio. He is a native Texan. He has many children that are native Texans that play football, America's game. You know, I feel like we want to mention that all of those things.
Apple pie and baseball.
Yeah.
He is an entrepreneur in these. He is a job creator.
And the feds be listening.
And the feds be listening, Figgy said.
Look, I love it here and I want to stay here. I love it here and I want to stay here.
He is a contributor to our GDP here in America.
That's right.
That
Ndi Kalu. Hey, Ndi, we're going to look forward. But a couple things I want to look back at, and I want you to put this in the back of your mind because we're going to come back to this. We were talking about the Bucs seemingly being coy about allowing Nick Chubb to score, and so I'm going to ask you about that. But in the back of your mind, start thinking about this. That led to the conversation of how we ourselves have gotten duped over the years, and I told the story about I literally got sucked into and lost about $600-$700 in a pyramid scheme with gold coins when I was 23 years old. And we all told our story. So keep that in the back of your mind. I want to see if you got a story about when you got duped. But let's get back to Monday night before we look forward. How much does that possibility come up about letting a team score? What did you see? Was there anything that maybe, you know, you thought, maybe they did do this?
Oh, well, just looking at the score and when you look at the clock, I feel like they absolutely did it, but you don't want to just say that because of the integrity of the game. You know what I'm saying, John? Like, mm-hmm. you grow up no matter what, no matter what the situation is, you try to stop the team from scoring and good things will happen. So I don't think it was like being coy just towards the direction of the Texans or Texans media. I think it's more to protect the integrity of defense. You never just want to let anyone score. But when you look at the situation, I don't remember the specifics, but the Texans, they could have eaten up the clock, kicked a field goal, and made it really tough for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to come back. So to have that strategy to say, you know what, we're going to hurry up and let them score, and if they don't get the two-point conversion, then we still have a chance to win it. That's a ballsy move, but I feel like I've seen it. I've been a part of it, you know, a few times. But it's not something that you feel good about talking about publicly, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to ND Kalu here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. And I've been shocked by the reemergence to this level of tackling woes for this defense, at least in this game. For you, when you were watching this game, what did you see that, you know, was the big issue with them tackling? And you were a tackler by trade. You got paid a lot of money for it. How would you go about trying to fix that with this team?
I feel like guys are trying to go for the knockout shot with the shoulder pad because, you know, you can't obviously leave with the crown of your helmet. There are so many rules now when it comes to tackling. And this is across the board. This is not an excuse. You got to figure it out because guess what? 31 other teams are either figuring it out or they're in the same boat. But it just feels like now guys are still trying to make those highlight hits and they're not doing the fundamentals of football with the wrapping up. And it's a surprise. I remember during the preseason broadcast, we had a chance to talk to Henry Toa, and he mentioned that in the entire offseason, he got with rugby players. Mm-hmm. You know, they taught him how to, you know, bring down players or different techniques. I mean, the man's in the NFL. He knows how to tackle. But so you knew that was an emphasis for your starting middle linebacker, for your starting will linebacker in this defense, and to see the issues that we're all seeing, it's pretty tough. So the question is, okay, how you combat that? You're not going to bring in new starters. So what do you emphasize during practice? Getting the head across the body, pursuits, you know, they keep talking about swarm. Well, I like swarm mentality, but you still got to get the guy down if you're going to have that many people around the ball carrier. Mm-hmm. So I think it's something that you have to emphasize, watch more film of the right tackles versus the wrong way to try to bring down the ball carrier. So it needs to be an emphasis practice this week for the defense.
All right, so let's get to the offensive line now. As a defensive lineman, I know you were watching the Texans. The big one was, you know, you're down on the 1 yard line with three shots and don't get it in. What are you seeing from the Texans offensive line? I mean, they, you know, to put it, you know, bluntly, they're struggling.
Look, when you're down that close, I can sit up here and say they're playing in front of their hips. They're not getting the correct leverage. But when you're that close, John, you know this. The guy in front of you is just better. I mean, let's just be real. The guy in front of you is just better if you can't score from that close in. So what does that mean? Similar to what we just said about the defense, I'm going to say about the offensive line, there's not a bunch of studs just waiting to get signed and join this team. So you got to figure out a way to come up with schemes, to come up with certain plays and certain blocking schematics for it to work for you. If Charlie Heck could come in for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and get in that game and they still had success on offense, then you could figure out a way to have success on the offense with Ed Ingram, Titus Howard and company. Mm-hmm. So that, to me, that's when you have to really start looking at your schemes and looking at what play calls you're calling to get the best out of you, the offensive line that you said we're going to roll with when the season started.
Yeah, and I mean, ND, that's been at least for me, a chief frustration is these were situations that you put yourself in, and it doesn't feel like there's been a lot of creative ways to kind of help whatever the talent level is, whatever we're talking about, be successful. So the question that I've been coming to is like, what are the places that you do have schematic or coaching advantages to your eye with this Texans team all the way across? Where does it feel like you have coaching advantages on the field with this team?
When you say coaching advantages, and first, let me jump back. Mm-hmm. I just threw out Charlie Heck's name. Like, everyone knows who he is. For those that don't know, you know, former fourth or fifth round draft pick of the Texans. He bounced around the league on practice squad, was just signed to Tampa Bay to be a backup, and he gets thrown in the game, and they still had success. Mm-hmm. So let me reference that. As far as the advantages, I still like this wide receiving group. You know, I still like what you have with Jaden Higgins, with Nico Collins, with Dalton Schultz. And to answer your question, and I'm going to kind of oversimplify it, I like the short dink and dunk passes if you're not going to be able to get it done in the running game because your offensive line isn't blowing the defensive line off the line of scrimmage. And if you're not able to protect C.J. Stroud for more than 2.5 seconds, then you do those little dink and dunk passes. You get the ball in the hands of your playmakers. You do it in a way with the Texas route coming out of the backfield if you want to get your running back involved, but in a way where it's like, all right, Nico, the ball's in your hands. Make the first guy miss, pick up the extra yards, and it gives you confidence, and it starts a rhythm. So I would not be surprised if we see more of those short passes that my coach in San Antonio used to call long handoffs just to get the ball in the hands of the guys that you feel like can make plays. And Jalen Noll, with what he did in the return game, like just get him the ball in space and you're going to expect for good things to happen. So don't be surprised if we see a lot of those 4 or 5 yard passes that the expectation is the athlete has to turn that 4 or 5 yard pass into a 10-yard gain.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think we're all with you on that, and they actually did try to do that early on with Nico and then kind of got away from it. But so it kind of led me to think about the question of is it C.J. Stroud at the line of scrimmage? And we're not just totally piling on, but we know the issues. Like, is it C.J. Stroud at the line of scrimmage not necessarily processing and getting the ball right to the right people? Or is it as simple as the play calling is just not been up to snuff?
Yes. when it's that bad, it has to be a combination. It has to be a combination. You know, I can't get in the head of C.J. Stroud and say he's not able to process. And I don't think anybody, without knowing what the play is, without knowing what his responsibility is before each play, can honestly say, say that. But there's a problem there. And I feel like with a first-time offensive coordinator, it's only two. Keep in mind, this is it's time to panic. Like, I'm not going to sit – especially if you lose to Jacksonville, who's 1-1, and they're in your division. So let's not mistake what I'm about to say as, oh, there's nothing to see here. But this is a guy – he's only in week two of calling regular season games. Preseason games are a joke. They're basically glorified practices. I think they're needed. But you don't really get to open up the playbook. So it needs to happen sooner than later. But, you know, this guy has to get into a regular season rhythm as well when it comes to calling these plays.
We're talking to Andy Kalu. Andy, one of the things that I think oftentimes is when I see an offense, especially one that maybe was like prominent in the aughts, right? 2005, 2008, something like that. I think defenses and defensive coordinators have really worked out the things that they need to do to try and combat the things that the questions that offense raises. Is that a reality for you as a guy that's been on the defensive side? Like, if you're seeing a Mike McCarthy offense from 2008, that West Coast style in 2025, we know what the answers are. Is that real, or is that just me not being dyed in the wool of football?
Well, if he doesn't, the thing is the offensive coordinator, you know, if they had success in 2008, they still need to kind of tweak what they're doing. They still need to change, you know, their mindset and keep their playbook relevant. But absolutely, if things haven't changed and you have 4 years of film, yeah, it makes it easier for the defensive coaches, the defensive coordinator to scheme against that. So that's why you, regardless of how great of an offensive mind you are, if you want to stay relevant for years to come, you take your foundation and then you tweak it a bit. You change it up. You throw a little wrench in it so it doesn't get so easy to defend against. But, no, you're absolutely onto something with some of these offensive coordinators. You're like, nope, this is what worked back in 2005, and it's going to work in 2025. The game's a little bit different. You better have to learn how to tweak and keep it relevant.
Hey, just curious on this one, as the Texans are going to face the Jaguars, what are your thoughts on Travis Hunter and playing both ways and the ability to make that sustainable?
That's a great question, because part of me is what made him special and one of the most dominant college players I've ever watched was the fact that he was doing it on both sides of the ball. So if you're going to draft him, you know, let him do what he's done in college. And then there's a side of me, John, that's like, man, college and the NFL are two entirely different entities, two entirely different levels. But if you take a guy like that, and you say, okay, he's only going to play one side of the ball, then he's not quite as valuable. Mm-hmm. And I think he's learning that it's different playing wide receiver against these defensive backs. It's different playing defensive back against these wide receivers. I still think they should keep the experiment of letting him play both ways, move on. Because, again, if I'm in the draft room, you know, going back to pre-draft, and the people around me are saying, hey, if you're going to draft this guy, we're only using him as, and you tell me one position or the other, then he kind of drops in my war room draft board. But if it's like you truly believe that he can be effective as a receiver and as a DB, yeah, then you take him where they took him and you let him play both ways. But we see guys that only play one position, you know, need time to adjust. Sure. You know, I think everyone just expected him to, and we all wanted it as fans of the game, to have that game. Man, he had 100 yards receiving and two picks. It's like, slow down, Chief. This is the NFL. Like, it's not that easy. Or you know who would have done that? Deion Sanders would have done it. Charles Woodson would have done it. There are so many guys before him that if it was that easy, they would have put up those type of stats.
Indeed. They haven't let up a lot of points, but there have been, I mean, we saw the way that team ran. Roughshod on you up and down. Is this defense good?
Oh, absolutely. I still think this defense is good. Are they perfect? No. Are they the 85 Bears? No. Can they improve against the run? Absolutely. And, you know, there were plays where I forgot that I was rooting for my Texans, and I was like, good God, that running back for Tampa Bay is physical. Like, he's good like that. But they still have to figure out a way with Tim Settle, Sheldon Rankins, who I think they play good ball, Folu Fatukasi, Mario Edwards, to you know, really be those plugs in the middle and let your linebackers roam and make those tackles and plays. But overall, big picture, I absolutely still think it's a good defense, but they definitely need to work on the whole in between the 20s, allowing for big chunks of running yards.
All right, Andy, we got to ask. You're an NFL player, an easy mark in some eyes. What has there ever been a case where you were duped?
Ooh. Well, you know I'm married, so that's the biggest dupe ever. That's the biggest dupe. You know, one that bothers me to this day happened when I was in college. I met this chick from North Shore. She came by my dorm room at Rice, and, you know, we're hanging out. She didn't really let me get as far as I wanted to get to, but she was all, hey, I'm gonna come back to the dorm room tomorrow night. Can I borrow your New Edition, the Best of New Edition CD?
Oh, no, so that's your squad.
Man, she made it sound like, you know, she was going to borrow it and we're going to get back to the dorm the next night. man, this hoe took that CD and I never heard from her again. So that was the biggest. And this is pre-NIL. So yeah, the fact that I spent $14.99 on the Best of New Edition CD and this heifer took it and never came back to the dorm room. Yeah, if anybody sees a chick from North Shore, Galena Park, riding around with that CD, let me know. That still bothers me to
this
day.
It should, obviously.
I don't even think you got a place to play that CD, and I know that that means that much to you because you still want it back.
Oh, I got, yo, all my cars have CD players. I'm old school, Reggie. The 96 Impala still has a CD player.
Okay, so, yeah. All right. I respect it.
I got somewhere to play it.
All right. We appreciate it. It's Andy Kalu joining us as he always does on a Thursday. Thank you, sir.
Y'all keep up the good work, brothers.
We will do that, and we will keep an eye out for a new edition. Best
He's
new
a big
edition
new edition
CD.
Guy.
He should be. That's a fantastic CD. Honestly, I understand why he's mad. And if you didn't know he was mad, he used the word hoe and he used the word heifer in there.
That's right.
You don't call nobody a heifer if you don't mean it.
True.
So, no, I appreciate that. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about what's popping, including a change in college football that I think is going to be very good for the game. We'll talk about it next. All right. Let's get into what's popping here in the loop. Again, appreciation to Andy Kalu joining us. And yes, I see you, all the fine folks on the text line. They're like, can we get him a new CD? Can we just fix that for him?
I hadn't thought of that.
So maybe that's what we'll do. We'll track down that CD. Although now that I think about it, that might not be the easiest thing to go and find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A CD.
Yeah. We, you know what? Put it on the docket.
And the best of
the In the Loop. Cause we still got to figure, what was the other thing that we were supposed to be doing as a show?
2107 on eBay.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Best I got that for ND.
Yeah,
okay. Well, we can do
that. I'm looking like, damn, 2107.
I don't know why. This one's $16. But you can find it. All the number ones with Bobby Brown and company.
Okay.
Rule it now.
Yeah. You got to slow it down. Ooh, watch out. Yeah. Let's get that CD for ND. We can do that.
That was wrong of that girl to do that.
Really, I mean, wrong. Yes.
Hell, you can get it on Amazon.
No, it was just.
Yeah.
All right. It was wrong with that.
We got
girl,
$20
man.
For ND. That's all I know is we got $20 for ND so he can jam Mr. Telephone Man like he wants to. All right. What's popping is the Astros are now once again the Silver Boot champions, Silver Boot Series champions after a victory 5-2.
What does Figgy
last
do?
Night? Shame what they did to that dog. So that fantastic victory. Christian Javier goes 6 innings. And early on, I was wondering if he would. It felt like his fastball, everything was high. I was like, ooh, is he going to dial it in? He did, and it was absolutely necessary. Him coming through, Craig Kimbrell coming through. Shout out to Craig. Then shout out to Brian King also coming in for out say. But you got to give the biggest shout out, I imagine, to a few entities. One being the top of the lineup for the Astros, who got after Jacob DeGrom, a good pitcher and who's been pitching still well. They got after him early. You put up runs on the board early, and then you kind of set the stage for all this. And then shout out to the gosh darn Seattle Mariners, baby.
Now, shout out. I thought you had something else.
No, I was going to let you go, man.
Yeah, go on. No, shout out. I mean, and it all leads to the biggest series of the season. Period. Paragraph. It is this week. And, oh, by the way, it's almost like a no excuses kind of thing. Outside of Yordan, which I know is a big thing, but outside of Yordan, you go Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez, Jason Alexander, lined up for the Mariners. Would you pick? I know Framber, we all get it, but
that's the best you got.
Would you
right
pick
there.
Any other three?
That's the best of the best.
So, I mean, those are the three that you're supposed to be able to go with right now, and so that should give you a good opportunity to win the series, a needed win to give yourself a little bit more cushion, as you only have a half game lead right now, which is nice to have back. But then also, if you go ahead and sweep this, you're in a very good circumstance, and you need to win this tiebreaker. From the Mariners. I want to listen to Joe Espada. This was him talking about the most impressive thing with the Christian Javier outing.
Yeah, you know, for me, it's just more confidence. He knows that when he's on, he's got his fastball and he gets ahead with it, he can spin and do some things. But I think his level of confidence, he's starting to feel better, stronger. And that's the key. It's going to take some time when you come from this injury. I've said that before, but I think right now he knows that, okay, I'm starting to dig a groove of things. I'm starting to get strong, and I know I can finish my pitches and throw any pitch in any count.
And that's such a big thing because he's got the best stuff of anybody in your stable, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I think he does.
So if he's getting confident, that does open him back up. And yes, here I am drinking Kool-Aid. I've been drinking a lot of Kool-Aid here recently, man. You would think that I couldn't afford to get no sodas. But yeah, no, it's just, it feels like that's absolutely a huge thing. And then don't forget, Spotta mentioned this, we don't have to play this. He was talking about Jose Altuve with that sore foot, and that's something I hadn't thought about.
A little lingering, huh?
That has been lingering, but it seems like he might be breaking out of that and finding a little bit more of himself. As we mentioned, the last couple of days, the bat has come alive a little bit. So good for the Astros. They have obviously the day off before they get that Mariners series going. I did want to mention this. Baseball-wise, Justin Verlander did make it known yesterday that he plans on pitching next year.
Well,
and the thing how's he been
looking the last couple games?
2.13 ERA over his last 11 starts.
I think he hadn't given up an earned run in like three starts, right?
Could you buy it
doesn't matter what we think. If Jim Crane has anything to say about it, they're going to bring him back.
Because remember at the trade deadline, I'll raise my hand. I was like, no, I don't want this. He's been.
We all were.
He's looked like he's done.
Yeah.
And then he turned the dial back again. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, well, you might get me.
Yeah.
Especially with the ways that your pitching has looked with the injuries and stuff and guys coming back. You might be able to sell me on this.
You might as well, because that actually was going to be one of my confessions.
Oh, my bad.
Like, no, it's fine. I got others. There's plenty more where that came from. It's like, kind of wouldn't mind it.
One more thing in what's popping, and this is college football. You know we enjoy college football, and tomorrow we'll get our college football preview going. But it looks like there's a big change with the NCAA eliminating the college football spring transfer portal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously there's a couple of transfer portals, but the committee announced yesterday that they didn't ratify it just yet, but they're basically looking at that proposal for a 10-day winter portal window that starts January 2nd, and it looks like that will move them to get rid of the spring portal, which had been pushed a lot by college football coaches.
Yeah.
Not that we're going to cry for the dudes in this circumstance, but having two free agency periods in the offseason, in addition to all the other recruiting, not only recruiting the high school level, but now recruiting your own players, recruiting players around the nation, it was a lot, and it was unwieldy.
To me, this is important and great, not good, great. As much as you're right, it was unwieldy and having two was a lot. It's not even about that for me. For me, well, first of all, they have to do this. They can't make it a 10-day window. They have to make it a 15 or 18-day window because you're bumping right up against the national championship game.
Right.
And a lot of people hold off. You know, even if you're not in the national championship game, a lot of times people kind of hold off to sort of gauge the landscape and see what coaches and teams and programs are offering. So I would expect it to not be a 10-day window, but maybe like 16, 18, just add another week thereabouts to make it that one healthy, hearty transfer window. Here's the reason I like it the most. Well, two. The first one is when you have a transfer window after spring training, some dude that didn't get the starting spot but could be integral to your team is going to transfer or think about transferring. All of a sudden, that squad is penalized for making a good football in their mind, a good football decision, and putting them as a backup. Well, that hamstrings a lot of programs because all of a sudden you lost your backup, you know, cornerback. He's out there trying to get some more money, transfer somewhere else, and now you got to find a cornerback. So that's number one. Number two, I think what it also does is it eliminates, so many agents, even if that player gets the starting cornerback position, saying, hey,
we can use this as leverage.
Threaten these guys that you're going to transfer now that the portal's open. So we can get a little, something for the effort.
Yeah, I mean, there's clearly still the wild, wild west of college football continues to get wilder.
This settles it down a little bit.
This helps settle it down a little bit. And I will echo, because I didn't get a chance to do this, I will echo your statement. You do need more than 10 days, though.
Yeah.
I think somebody on the text line said it puts the teams in the college football playoff at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
That is true to some degree, for sure. But I think also just give people enough time to really exist in this space and,
Gauge
the landscape.
Yeah.
But then make it one time to where you don't open this up. You don't have to double back on the things that you're already doing, because there's enough of that right now in college football. And let's create a little bit, as much as I like chaos, one, but two, also an opportunity for players to utilize leverage. There is a balance that needs to be struck, and it feels like the NCAA landscape is finding a little bit, just a small bit more of that balance. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Let's return to the Texans, because CJ talked yesterday and he had a couple of things that were interesting. Some seemed promising and others were, well, let's talk about it. 713-572-4610 next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.